Pat reads to us in a moment. I'm just going to add to that, not to pray, but to say, to be praying general election coming up, and you might, in your thoughts about who you vote for, you might want to explore our different parties' approaches to matters of renewable energy and the like. Wendy and I have to consider them very shortly because we're free for the actual day. It's an important thing to think about, isn't it? So, Appa, quite long readings, said, isn't it? Thank you.
Chapter 28, verses 1-22. In fact, it's the whole chapter. So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself, their mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham." Then Isaac parted Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the RA, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau learned that Isaac had been Aram to take a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he commanded him, "Do not marry." Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. Esau's women were to his father Isaac, so he went to Ishmael and married a sister of Nebaioth, and daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham. Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out a place. He stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place," and said, "How awesome is this place! There is none other than the house. This is none other than the heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, oil set on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called. Made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me." And then the next part of the reading is from chapter 32 to 31. Jacob wrestles with God and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions, and the man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not over it of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man, "No, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. "Then be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans." And Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do it because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon.
I wonder how many of you... I mean, it's probably everyone, isn't it? Probably. How many of us, I wonder, remember any dreams we had? Sometimes, some. I'm a sad. This is sad, really. But I have a sleep. Just me from getting up too easily sometimes when I wake in the night and going downstairs for an hour or two, that sort of thing before going. Night, I fell asleep around about maybe just before 11 o'clock, actually. And that by gone 12, I was into the REM sleep. That's not the kind of 90s rock band. Rapid eye movement, you know, the time when it appears that we do dream. Later, after time of core sleep, it's all there on the chart. And the little red, and then I went back to sleep. And at just a little bit before 5 o'clock, because our younger daughter was visiting, and she needed to leave at 5:30 this morning to be on duty by 10 o'clock. And I had no sleep whatsoever after that. But in a way, I didn't really need it by then. Refreshed with my slightly under 6 hours sleep. It wasn't too bad. But, I mean, dreams are not... And if we remember them, what we were thinking about just before we go to sleep, more often than not, that's how it is. Thoughts before we go to sleep, the dreams may well go follow those good thoughts. If we're in that kinds of thing, then it kind of often affects the dreams, doesn't it, in a not very helpful way. With Jacob, things sort of worked the other way round, because what he thought and what he did. And it wasn't just after he woke up that it was like that for the rest of his life, the dream that he had of his life. In his dream, Jacob met with God. Back through something of the life of Jacob, and I was thinking really that if you were to write the life of Jacob, you could make a lot of money with that. If you use the different stories there, he's a very interesting character. He kind of, well, another one full of moral ambiguities, such as those that we had even with Abraham. Remember that when he was young, Jacob bought the birthright that was Esau's for a bowl. Esau came in famished from his hunting. He stole the birthright that was Esau's. Firstborn, which was rightly Esau's, when their father was on his deathbed. Certainly not to Esau, and probably not to many others as well. Name meant he who grasps, because he was born, we're told, coming out of grasping on to the heel of Esau, his twin. He grasps on the meaning of Jacob. And Jacob finds out that Esau is planning to kill those things. Esau is planning to kill him once Isaac, their father, dies. So he and Rebekah are here for a time until Esau's anger subsides. He will go and he will find an Aram, northwest Mesopotamia. This is Jacob, gentle, a homebird, traveling alone. And his dreams could easily have been about bandits attacking him, robbing him, and perhaps killing him on the journey. And we're told when he reached a certain place, the sun had set. Very sensible, really, isn't it, to wait until the sun has set, particularly when you're so that the light's not going to keep you awake. But I love that phrase, when he reached a surge in the story, we don't know exactly where it is, and perhaps we still don't, although tradition may assign a place. But that phrase, he reached a certain place, speaks of a meeting with his destiny, a meeting that will completely change his life. A certain place where you have met with God in a way that has changed. It has maybe launched you out in a different direction. Or maybe time that you needed to receive encouragement, comfort from God. And maybe you didn't know it at the time that this was a certain place, a place of divine afterwards, but it comes significant to you, that certain place. Places that have been certain places to me for different reasons. A rock. by in Peterborough, not the Nen, that's Northamptonshire, the Neen is the right way of pronouncing it, but also in Somerset, where I was really desperately looking for God to speak into. Today, I think my certain place sometimes, and some of you will know it, is a bench of the Buckingham Canal. Just a lovely place to sit on a day like today and contemplate. For Jacob, this certain place was to be the place where he met with God, named House of God, or Bethel, the place near which Abraham had previously continued following God's command to go. And Jacob lay down to sleep in the house of God, stretching from earth to heaven, ascending up what today we do call Jacob's ladder, don't we? And three things which would totally change his life. Three things summed up in the key. God says to him, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will. So firstly, Jacob learnt of the Lord's presence, meets with the Lord in this place, and as God's saying, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac, of who God is. This is no new God, this is no stranger God, as he travels into foreign God, invading his mind. This is the God of his own Father Abraham. And often as we go through Old Testament, through I am the God of Abraham, as he might say to Isaac, then he'd say, I am the God of Abraham, and subsequently we get it referred to as, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, three in Israel's history. So he gets reassurance of this is the God of his fathers who is present. He also gets reassurance of where God is, because God says, I am with you, I'm here. When I talked about that. But actually, Jacob's biblical promise from God, I am with you. Others meeting with God on Mount Horeb, where God says, I am. Joshua, reassurance of God that I am with you. Gideon, as he prepares to do battle with the Midianites in Judges chapter 6. But it's our reassurance too. Said to the Israelites. And it's repeated in Hebrews 13, verse of God through Jesus Christ. God says, never will I leave you, never will I. Jesus too says it at the end of Matthew's gospel, where he says to his disciples, he says to all, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, you know who God is, where God is, that he is with you. You can do anything for God, can't you? Hope. But we should be able to. If we know who God is, that he is God Almighty, he is the Jehovah God, and that he is with us, we calls us to do. So Jacob learnt of the Lord's presence. Secondly, he learnt of the Lord to Jacob, I will watch over you wherever you go. Protection in the images of his dream. Angels descend to earth, and angels descending back to heaven, perhaps to receive their next task. Enough. It tends to be kind of Christmas time, doesn't it? The angel Gabriel, the angel of the Lord appearing to. Sometimes, though, I mean, people like the idea of guardians, Robbie Williams. Through it all, he offers me protection, a lot of love and affection. We talk of guardian angels watching over us, and it's often used as well as guardian angel. She, he really helped me in that time. But might there be something more? The Bible suggests so. Listen to these words from Psalm 91. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall it, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your. I think we can take encouragement from that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. All angels, ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. They're real, they do exist. They do help us in ways that we may not even know. It's to angels, as I've said, for those that appear as messengers to Mary and Joseph, who offer hospitality, possibly entertaining angels unawares. And invite more people around to dinner, won't you? Or coffee, or whatever. There's also rattles, for example, the angel Michael, who appears in Jude verse 9 and Daniel chapter. And I guess, you know, belief in angels may seem for some to go beyond the, a flight of fantasy, you might say. But if we too, for some, does belief in God go beyond the rational mind? There's so much evidence for God as well. So much reason to believe that God exists in his presence. But we might believe the same for angels as well. Say about these angels in the dream going up and down the ladder, we can say that Jacob receives a spoken and a visual sign of that protection. On to the protection part of that second point. He learns the Lord's protection. This is something. And we wonder sometimes why the protection things, isn't it? That's an ad ponsable. Why do people? It's that kind of argument, isn't it? It's not that God protects us everything that is out there. But he does promise to protect. I mentioned that Joanna left at 5:30 to travel up to us like this. But I look forward to the moment that we get contact from her to say she's arrived. It's a long experience. And turns out she did it in a fair bit less than my record time, by the way. I'm not proud of this. It just is what it is. It was in lockdown. You could pretty much maintain the legal speed limit all the way. Presuming that this might be the case for Joanna. Because you know, things that we shouldn't be doing necessarily, you know, things that are our fault, we're not necessarily going to be protected from, but pertain to my driving habits and yours. It says, never drive faster. Quite like that. Always. I mean, I think sometimes we do receive physical protection. And perhaps we never know those things. They're at the grace of God go. But I believe if we know Christ, we will always do anything that could ultimately harm us. Another quote this time, oh well, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And if you, he who watches over you will not let you stumble or slip. We know that we have God's ultimate protection. Anything that we believe that he might be calling us to do. Sometimes I haven't liked the things he's called me to do. But it has been the sense of his call. He's always going to be with me, and he will protect me from what anything that could ultimately harm me that has kept, has maybe encouraged me to launch out on new things in my life. So, and he also learns of the Lord's promise. I will bring you back to this of traveling far from home, wondering if he might ever return. And I think sometimes we may all have wondered, head off to the other side of the world, perhaps to live, as my nephew is about to do. Bring you back to this land. To Jacob, the homebird, this must have been music ever known, traveling far afield to Paddan Aram. It was to take many years, wife, and then perhaps receiving a dose of his own medicine in which the wrong woman as his wife. He worked another 7 years for Laban, didn't he, to take it. As I said, this is an interesting story to put into novel format. But Jacob would return to the land from which he had departed. Those who have set out, some of whom I have known, set out from home for God, not knowing if and for For how many missionaries was that the case in the past? Those who had their possessions often packed in a coffin because home for burial. How many have think could ultimately harm them? Knowing the Lord's promise, we may not always return to the holy places in us of our birth. But if we know God in us home from whatever challenges we face, because the Bible says our citizenship is in heaven, we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish in heaven for you. The Lord's promise. He said, this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And he put his altar. I mean, he was lucky to sleep, wasn't he? Never mind dream with that as a pillow. But he Beth El, house of God, and he made a conditional promise. If God on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's hand. Give a tenth. Conditional promises like that. If you do this for me, God, I will do that for you. But it worked for Jacob. And at least it expressed his. But I think actually, if we know God's promise, we can do better than Jacob. And actually, because when subsequently, and I turn briefly to our second reading, daunted by the thought of having to meet with his brother Esau and all the wealth that he had built up, he was daunted by returning home and meeting, because last time he'd been there, Esau. And as he was going, and as he sent people on ahead, his brother, he encountered a divine figure. It's a bit, arrives at this place in chapter 32, isn't it? Chapter 32. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Bizarre, isn't it? Where did man come from? Why don't we know more about it? I mean, why would he stay there if there was a man there with who he was going to wrestle? To be explained to us. And it appears that he was wrestling, but this was more than just a man. He was wrestling with anyone. You know, you used to play those kind of playground games, perhaps. And you would try and get someone to submit. Let's take arm wrestling, for example. That's safe, isn't it? You know, someone is arm wrestling, and you push to submit when you're winning. And then down. Jacob keeps wrestling. He keeps wrestling with God until kind of God submits, gives in. God gives to Jacob the blessing that he was. Jacob wrestled with God. Wonder if there might be something for us there in our own. You know, we wrestle with certain things, don't we? We pray. We pray for people to be healed. We pray to know Christ. We pray for different things in our changes. Do we give up wrestling with God too soon? It feels like we're wrestling, doesn't it? Do we give up too soon? Jacob kept wrestling with God to obtain a blessing. To Esau, he did return to Bethel, where God had said he would return, and follow the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. And now, what does it mean then to know the Lord's presence? To know the Lord's presence, does it mean? Came through the dream. Perhaps it is through dreaming with God. God frees us Jacob's encounter with God, it seems, set him free to go on dreaming with God, to land, and his descendants, like those of his forefather Abraham, would be like the dust. I wonder what you dream with God. If we promise we have all that really matters, and I think that can set us free to dream with God, even where we would really rather not go, and we would perhaps never previously have dreamt of going. But I do dream with God, and I encourage you to dream as well. I encourage us to go on dreaming of the time when we might actually have a new building that is fit. I encourage us to dream of a time when full of people coming to worship God. With at the moment, in fact, there seem to be less of us here than there have been. God over that, and to pray that God will move us upwards as we reach out in His name. A little bit of paternal pride. I'm nearly finished now, but ago, she was at primary school actually in Peterborough. There was a competition in the school to primary schools sometimes do. And so the pupils were invited to choose a name field for the name of that house. Karis came up with the name. Why on earth did she come up with the name Dempsey? But at the time, Dempsey was in honour of local surfer who learnt to windsurf on the waters of Ferry Meadows nearby, and who I think won a time. And she won four houses that won. So the house was named Dempsey, and her shield was used and sent to Nick Dempsey, whose parents lived just across the road from us, I think, which is still somewhere. I don't know if she can find it. But on the photo, he signed it Nick Dempsey, and he put the words there, "Live your dream. Live your dream." What if we were to live the dreams that we dream with? What if we were to do the things that might cause them to come to fruition with God? Are you dreaming of perhaps telling people, your nearest and dearest, about? Are you thinking about Jesus on the streets of Buckingham or out? Are you thinking, maybe, as some do, of taking God's or maybe long-term mission as our much-loved member, but became long-term, didn't it? Find out more and live it out. Dreaming with God can be a life-changing experience, as it was for Jacob. That's Lawrence of Arabia, isn't it? Once said, "All those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds awake to the day, to find it was all night after all. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous people for the men to make it possible." And another quote, "And the world needs doers, but above all, the world needs dreamers." Let's pray. Lord, we mean nothing to us. But make us alert to the times when you might be asleep or awake. Lord, the Bible, and it may be outside of our own experience, but help us by whatever means you choose to speak to us. May we also dream some dreams where we dream of how things might be in our church, in our town, in our make a difference. Lord, will you help those dreams that we dream with you? Will you help those dreams become reality? And will you help us to be people who do the things reality? We ask it for the sake of Jesus.